are you not to marry? I will say, Murni bima shit. Ya Rasulullah, I will marry. Order me, whatever you wish me to marry, I will marry from there. He says, and Allah gave me that opportunity that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked me for the third time, ki ya Rabbi ala tazawwaj. And when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked me this time with an open hand, I said, ki ya Rasulullah, murni bima shit. Ya Rasulullah, whatever you tell me, I will go marry there. He says, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, to go to such and such a family from the Ansar tribe and tell them that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has sent me. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam orders you to marry their daughter to me. He says, I went to that family of the Ansar. And I conveyed this message of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they greeted me, marhaban bi Rasulillah wa bi Rasuli Rasulillah. Wallahi la yarji'u Rasulu Rasulillah illa bi hajatih. He says, they said, marhaba, they welcomed me. And welcomed the messenger of Rasulullah. And they swore by the Almighty Allah that the messenger of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam today will not leave till he has fulfilled his need. And he said that without asking me anything, any proof whatsoever, that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has sent me and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam orders this, without asking anything, they married their daughter to me. Can you imagine? You know, giving your daughter away is not an easy thing. When you give your daughter away, you will realize how big of a thing it is. Look at the isaad of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala wa majma'in. He comes and he says, this is the messenger of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How big of a thing it was to give your daughter in marriage. They ask no question. If this is the wish of Rasulullah, then it is our duty to obey and fulfill that wish. And the messenger of Rasulullah will not return till he has fulfilled his wish. And they give their daughter just like this. And he can't believe his eyes. And he returns to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sad. Ya Rasulullah, ataytu qawman kiraman. O Messenger of Allah, you sent me to such good people I went to, that they married their daughter to me without any question. O Messenger of Allah, and such is my condition, I don't have anything to give her as dowry. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Rabi'ah, Rabi'ah, there is nothing to worry. O Buraida, go and get some gold for him, equal to the weight of a date seed. And they go, and they give him this gold. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, take it there. He takes it there and he gives them this gold in dowry, equal to the weight of a date seed. And they accept this. And they express happiness so much so that they say to Rabi'ah, kathirun tayyib, O Rabi'ah, this is too much what you have given us. He can't believe what he's experiencing, what he's seeing. And he returns another time to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sad, ki ya Rasulullah. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, ki O Rabi'ah, malaka hazin, why are you sad now? He says, ki ya Rasulullah, ma ra'aytu qawman akram minhum. I have never seen people like this. Look at the way they honored me. The way they didn't even ask me a question. The way they accepted what I'd offered as dowry. O Messenger of Allah, and such is my condition that I don't possess anything and I cannot even celebrate this marriage and I cannot give a banima. Again, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, ki Rabi'ah, there is nothing to worry about. O Buraida, go and get him a lamp. O Rabi'ah, go to Hazrat Aisha's house and tell her whatever food she has inside her house to give it to you. And he brings the flour and he has this lamb. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, go and take it to these people. Tell them to make bread, chapatis out of the flour and curry out of the lamb. And he takes this to these people and these people say to him, oh Rabi'ah, we will make the chapatis. You take care of slaughtering the goat and cooking the lamb. And this was their walima. How simple this wedding was. And how quick it took place. It was because of this simplicity that these marriages were blessed. Just like Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ أَعْظَمَ النِّكَاهِ بَرَكَةً أَيْثَرَهُ مَعُونَةً. That the marriage which will receive the most blessings from the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one that incurs the least expenditure. Now, let us look at our marriages. Bearing what I've said in mind,
Let us look at our marriages today. Our marriages, every haram, as I mentioned under the sun, we commit. And they cost from anywhere from around 10 grand, 20, 30, 40, 50, sky's the limit. Where are marriages in which conducting this blessed act, we've gone against every teaching of the Quran, every teaching of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Where are marriages going to receive the barakat and the blessings of the Almighty Allah? And where are marriages like this going to work? Now you may say to me, okay, we're only expressing happiness by celebrating these weddings in this manner. We're only showing that we are happy. I am the first one that will agree with you. But yeah. And Islam not only allows you to express happiness at times like this, not only allows you, Islam encourages you that on occasions like this, you should express happiness. The hadith recorded by Imam Bukhari, Abdurrahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as married. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the first person himself to say to Abdurrahman ibn Awf, O Abdurrahman, awlim walaw bishatin, O Abdurrahman, celebrate this marriage of yours by giving a walima party and slaughter as much as a goat and cook it and call the people and give them this to eat. Again, the hadith recorded by Imam al-Bukhari on the authority of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha gave in marriage a young girl which she had taken care of, a yatima and an orphan, to a man from the Ansar. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked her, Ya Aisha, ma kana ma'akum lahwun, fa inna al-Ansara yu'jibuhum al-lahw. Okay, didn't you have any amusement, any entertainment? The Ansar love a bit of amusement and entertainment. And in the narration of Shariq, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, didn't you send a little girl who would play the duff, a type of drum, and who would sing for you? When asked with regards to what would we have said, the reply was, Atainakum, Atainakum, Fahiyyana Wahiyyakum. So when we look at this hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is clearly evident that Islam, not only does it give it permission to express happiness, Islam is the first religion that encourages you to celebrate happiness. But at the same time, there are limits to everything. And this happiness that you express has to be within the bounds of Islam and within the bounds of Sharia. Now when we look at our marriages and our weddings, and the happiness that we express, where is it within the bounds of Islam? Let me give you a few examples of what have come to my knowledge, and you know more about this, because I'm sure that you attend these functions and these weddings. There was a time when people would take mortgages, and the excuses that they would offer was that they need to buy a house. Now a time has come when people cannot afford to marry in the manner other people do, and they take out mortgages for these marriages. Why? Because they want to blow and show in exactly the same manner their friends or their relatives or their neighbors did. And if they don't celebrate in that manner like their neighbors and their friends did, what will people think about this? Where's their self-respect gone? Oh, he couldn't afford it. What will people say? And this is what we think about. Yet what self-respect in this? That every penny of that interest is worse than committing adultery and fornication with your mother 70 times. And on the day of judgment you will pay the price. And where does this compare with the wedding ceremony of the greatest of all prophets, Sayyidina Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The hadith recorded by Muslim, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam marries our mother Hazrat Safiya on his return from Khaybar. This was the walima. In the morning he announces amongst the Sahaba. He said, Allah wa sallam, man kana indahu shay'un falyajib. Whoever has any food, he should bring it. The dasturkhan, the dining cloth is laid. And the Sahaba come with whatever little that they have. One is coming with some dates and he places it on this dasturkhan. Another comes with cheese and he places it on this dasturkhan. A third comes with butter and he places it on this dasturkhan. Whatever they have. And there was no meat in this walima whatsoever. This was the walima celebration of Sayyidul Awwaleen wal Akhireen, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another walima celebration of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umm Sulaym, a sahabiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, she cooked some food at home. And she says to her son Anas, who was a khadim of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and who would serve Rasulullah, ki Anas, convey the salam, my salam to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And take this food to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and take it, ya Rasulullah, inna hadha minna laka kaleel. O Messenger of Allah, I've cooked this little bit of food which will help you in your walima. And he takes this food to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he conveys the message of his mother and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him to place this food at one side. Then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, you honest, go and call so and so from amongst the Sahaba. And every person that you meet on the way, tell him that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is inviting him. Sayyidina Anas goes. And he calls the people that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took by name. And all those that he met on the way, and there was about 300 people, and a group of at a time came, and they ate from this blessed food. All 300 ate from this food that Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu had brought. And they ate to their full. And when they finished, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu to take this tray away, Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, by Allah there was so much barakat in this food that I do not know whether there was more food when I brought the initial tray or whether there was more food when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me to take it away. Now the great commentator of a hadith, Imam Nabawi, after this hadith he writes, it is desirable for the friends of the groom to help him and send some food at the time of his walima. Can you imagine this to happen today? If you would to send some food for your friend, the guy will turn around and give you a good crack. Are you humiliating me? Do you think I can't afford it? Do you think I'm a beggar? Yet this was the best of creation. And those that don't take mortgages for their weddings. Which Hindu custom in our marriages do we not adopt? And now we embrace their ways and their teachings. I mean, which Hindu custom am I to speak about? From the things that they put on their heads, from the coconuts and things around the groom's hands, from the waving of the candles around his head. I mean, you name it, everything that happens there, more or less, is taken from the Hindu culture. And we celebrate it with pride. Then there's a mehndi ceremony for the groom. Okay, it may be permissible for the girls to apply mehndi, but where is it permissible for a man to apply mehndi on his hands and feet? It is haram for a man to apply mehndi on his hands and feet. This is another thing that takes place. On top of all the Hindu customs, then there's the aspect of free mixing in our marriages. Then there's the aspect of music, again which is haram. Then there's the aspect of show, whether it's in hiring all these beautiful cars, from the limos to the Jags. Everybody does it. Because there's a lot of you laughing here that have done it themselves. Irrespective of how deendar you are, when the crunch comes, even the big four, and they want the same show. So whether it's hiring all these beautiful cars, or whether it's hiring the top function hall, and everybody's looking for a different one, because so it looks unique, and it stands out, okay, so and so, you know, when he got married, this is the thing that he hired. Or whether it's all the dishes that we offer in our weddings. And we will make sure that there are all these different dishes again, so that they say, so that the people say, yeah, this guy's wedding was respectable. He gave such and such a thing, whether it's koftas or kebabs or chicken tikkas, you name it. This is the reason that we do it. Or whether it's parading the gifts that mother and father has given on the stage. Every single thing that we do there is for the wrong reasons. I mean, where are weddings in which every haram under the sun has been committed going to receive blessings from the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this is the first mistake that we make when we marry. And this is why a lot of our marriages are going downhill. Number one, there's no blessing. Guys, I'm going to be here for a while, so if you're going to rest, you might as well rest. I'm telling you, I'm not going anywhere. So I've come onto this thing called divorce. I'm taking you slowly to this thing called divorce. And the teachings of Islam with regards to this thing called divorce. So this is the first mistake that we make. Second mistake that we make. I'm going to be here for at least another hour. So you know, if you want to stretch your legs, by all means, stretch. Because I'm not going. I need to explain this thing once and for all. Second mistake that's been made is, Jazakumullahu khair. The second mistake that we make, and this also takes place well before the marriage, and as we overlook the teachings of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to the person choose for marriage. So the boy, it's the first girl that he meets, and he becomes Romeo all of the night. And the girl, the first guy that she meets, oh, I'm in love. Yet in reality, they don't know what love is. It's all emotion. Get married without doing any homework on this boy and girl, and before they know it, when they get married, the reality hits them. Because this Romeo isn't that Romeo that she used to hang around with. Now he's shown his true colours. And all of a sudden, Romeo, when Juliet comes home, because she's not the one that used to put this beautiful picture on for him, she's turned out to be such and such. So it just doesn't work. So we overlook the teachings and the guidelines. Allahu Akbar, look how beautiful our deen is. You know, the human mind cannot comprehend how beautiful the teachings of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. Allah and His Messenger didn't leave us. Now this is such a great step in our life. How would we know which woman to choose? Unless we've gone through it 15, 20 times, and then realized, okay, this is the one that we should bring in home. Who can afford to do that? So Islam taught us everything. So that we don't have to do this hard work. And to help us take this great step, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us what we should be looking for in a woman, or what a girl should be looking for in a guy when they intend to marry. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the first guideline, and this is the most important guideline. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تُنْكَهُ الْمَرْأَةُ لِأَرْبَعٍ لِمَالِهَا وَلِجِمَالِهَا وَلِحَسَبِهَا وَلِدِينِهَا فَصْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَرِبَتِ ذَا. He said, Allahu alayhi wa sallam said that a woman in general is married for any one of four reasons. Number one, لِمَالِهَا. She's absolutely loaded. Millions she's got. And you're some Charlie from the street. And you're thinking, hold on, I've got to go and sign every 2 weeks. and then I've got to save this money to chill out on Friday, or to blow a few tires, or to go eat at Mumtaz or whatever. She's ideal. 2-3 million in her bank account. She can spend on me. Give me a nice motor. Don't need to sign on. Ideal partner. So people marry women because of their wealth. Wali Jamaliha. She is absolutely gorgeous. You know, she'll make Miss World. She'll put her to shame. And you're thinking, you know, she's it. I could just sit there at home and admire this woman for the rest of my life. I don't need to go anywhere. And you're dazzled by her beauty. And you marry her because of this. Third reason, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلِحَسَبِهَا. This girl's got a bit of status about her. She's a Chaudhry. Or a Patel. Or a Saudi. You know, a royal. And you're this pauper like me, and you're thinking, you know, if I marry this girl, I'm going to gain a bit of respect. I'm going to become a royal. Everybody will look up to me. So you marry her because of this. And the last reason Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلِدِينِهَا. People marry girls because of their piety and their deen, and that they are observing the teachings of the Quran and Islam, and they are implementing them in their daily lives. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Muslims, when you intend to marry, the thing that you should be looking for in a woman is her deen, is her piety, is her taqwa, is her God fearing. This is the aspect every girl intending to marry should look for in the partner that she is choosing to marry. And this is the quality that every guy intending to marry should look for in this woman that he's about to marry. Now, why has Islam said that this is the attribute or quality that you should be looking for? Why deen? To sum it up in a nutshell, this is the key to success. The more pious this girl is, the more deendar, the more practicing, the more God-fearing this girl is, the less the headache, the more the happiness, the more the peace, and the more the sukoon in your lives. And the less deendar this woman is, the more the misery, and the more the headache in your lives. It is because of this Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَسْتَفَادَ الْمُؤْمِنِ بَعْدَ تَكْوَى اللَّهِ خَيْرًا لَهُ مِنْ زَوْجَةٍ صَالِحَةٍ إِنْ أَمَرَهَا أَطَاعَتْ وَإِنْ نَظَرَ إِلَيْهَا سَرَّتْ وَإِنْ أَقْسَمَ عَلَيْهَا أَضَرَّتْ وَإِنْ غَابَ عَنْهَا نَزَحَتْهُ فِي نَفْسِهَا وَمَالِحَا. That a believer has never benefited after the fear of Allah from anything better for him than a pious woman. Why? When he orders her day or night, she will obey him and she will show her obedience. And when he looks at her, she will smile at him and she will make him happy. And if he ever takes an oath, she is the one that will fulfill his oath. And if he's ever absent and not at home, she won't blow his money. She will take care of his money, his property, and she will not break their matrimonial trust. Now, if a woman doesn't even know what a husband is, a woman doesn't even know what Allah and His Messenger, Muhammad Rasulullah salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, has said with regards to a husband, and vice versa, a man doesn't know what a woman is. Where is this woman going to fulfill your rights if she doesn't even know what your rights are? That what she has to do as a wife, if she doesn't even know this, where is she going to fulfill your rights? It is only a deendar woman that truly knows the value of a husband. Because she knows that the pleasure of Allah for her lies in the pleasure of a husband. She is the one that knows that the key for paradise for her is her husband. And knowing these things, she is the one that will respect you. She will honor you. She will hold you in high esteem. She will serve you day and night. She will be obedient to you. She will fulfill your rights, those which are compulsory upon her, rights which Islam has not even enjoyed upon her. She will do these things for you. Why? She will cook for you. She will clean for you. She will take care of your mother and father, your brothers and sisters, and every other thing that Islam hasn't enjoyed upon her. Why? Because she knows if it makes you happy, it will make the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. She is the one that will not burden you with these mortgages, because she knows it's haram. She is the one that will not force you to work overtime because of her expenditure, which increases by the day. Why? Because she will be content and happy with whatever you put on the dasturkhan and with whatever you bring at home. And if you're weak, look at Salima Sultan. She was the wife of the King Nasiruddin. She was a queen. She grew up in luxuries. But when she married Sultan Nasiruddin, the king was such that he didn't take a penny from the Baytul Mal. He would write calligraphy, and little that he earned, which would barely provide for the family, he would live on that. And when she married him, she was deendar. She left her riches for the sake of her husband. She is the one that if you're weak in your deen, and you're not a strong Muslim, she won't ignore you. She will work on you, and she will be patient, and she will keep on helping you till you become a good practicing Muslim. Tomorrow, remember guys, Allah gives all good children. Tomorrow, you're going to become fathers. This very woman that you are going to choose is going to become the mother of your children. This is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَخَيِّرُوا لِنُطْفِكُمْ وَنْكِهُ الْأَكِفَةِ. It is only good mothers that give birth to children, not only a source of comfort for the eyes of the mother and father, but that become a means of guidance for the whole of mankind. It has always been good mothers that have given birth to the likes of Hafsa bint Sirin, Habiba bint Hashim. Do you know who Habiba bint Hashim was? She will make you and I look silly. In charge of an army unit in the Battle of Armenia. So sharp she was, and such was her strategic planning, that she conquered the whole of Armenia in a few days. In the Battle of Ferghana, she's surrounded by the enemy, only 400 men. Such was the courage of these men, of these women, that what to say of the men of today. Surrounded by the enemy, only 400 men, such was the courage, and so quick she was with the sword, that she struck it so swiftly and sharply, that she pierced the enemy lines, escaped unharmed, returned for the counter-attack, and brought the enemy to their heels. It is mothers that give birth to children like this. Good mothers. They give birth to the likes of Rabia Basariya. Who was Rabia Basariya? 7 when her parents died, separated from her 3 sisters. This is why she was called Rabia. Rabia means 4. A child sold on the market for a few dirhams. Her master has a heart of stone, and he makes her work day and night. And on one occasion she falls from the roof and she breaks her arm, and she prays to the Almighty Allah, Allah, I am poor and I am weak and I am an orphan, and I beg for your mercy. And a caller calls out, oh little girl, you've got nothing to worry. You will attain such a maqam that you will demand respect from all. And she attained that maqam. Oh, and the great ulama of her time, they would respect this woman, Rabia Basariya. She's going for Hajj, and her donkey dies on the way. And her friends volunteer, hey Rabia, we will carry your luggage for you. She says, no, And they all leave. She's alone in the desert. And she turns to the Almighty, Allah, oh Allah. I am an orphan. I am weak. I am poor. You call me to your house and now you've killed my donkey? There and then the donkey became alive. She put a luggage on it and she rode and called the caravan. The same Rabia Basriya, she's sitting with her guests. All she has is two loaves of bread, pieces of bread to offer. Somebody knocks on the door. And these two pieces she gives away. And these guys like you and me sitting there, she's giving everything away, what's she going to give us? Meanwhile, somebody else knocks on the door. And he comes and says, so and so has sent you these loaves and he's taken your name. And she takes and she counts. And she counts as only 18. She gives it back, this is not for me. He insists, okay, he's taken your name, Rabia, get these loaves offer you. No, it's not for me. Why do you say this? Allah has promised you, one who gives one, man ja'a bil hasanati falahu ashru amthaliha. He will return 10. There's only 18 here. I give 2 for the sake of Allah. And then he conveys the truth. Okay, in reality, there were 20 pieces of bread I had stolen too. You know, it is always good mothers that have given birth to children like this. I'm sure you've heard of Pirani Pir Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi, who commands respect from every Muslim on the face of the earth, irrespective to which school of thought he follows. Where, how did Pirani Pir Abdul Qadir Jilani come about? Whilst talking on the subject of marriage, the marriage of his mother and father took, in a remarkable way, it took place. His father's name was Sayyid Abu Saleh, who was a wali of Allah. And Sayyid Abu Saleh would pray, offer his salah in jungles and remote places and do all these mystical exercises. 3 days and he hasn't eaten a thing. Come the third day and he sees his apple flowing in the river. He takes his apple. In the name of Allah, he eats this. And then he remembers all of a sudden that he hasn't taken permission from the person who owns this apple. Fearing accountability on the Day of Judgment, he now goes in search of the person that this apple belonged to. And he walks against the tide of the river, and the narration says he walks for miles till he finally comes across an orchard of apples where there's an apple tree beside the river where the ripe apples fall in the river and they glide away. The person who owned this orchard was the landlord Sayyid Abdullah Sumay, who was a wali of Allah himself. When he saw Sayyid Abdullah, he asked for forgiveness for eating this apple without permission. Now Sayyid Abdullah Sumay realized there and then, okay, this guy's not normal. He's come miles just to ask for forgiveness. There's something special about this guy. And in his heart there and then, when he saw the fear of Allah inside this first one, he made firm intentions that this is the man that is going to marry my daughter. And he says to Sayyid Abu Saleh, okay, I'm not going to forgive you till you look after my orchard for 10 years, and after that I will think whether I will forgive you. Sayyid Abu Saleh feared Allah and feared his accountability. He agreed that I will look after your orchard for 10 years. On top of this, he extended too, and he looked after his orchard for 12 years. Finally Sayyid Abdullah Sumay said to him, I've tested you many a way and you've passed every test, but there's one trial still left. I want you to marry my daughter. But before you marry my daughter, I will tell you that my daughter is disabled of hand. She's crippled. She's deaf and she's blind. He said, for the sake of Allah, I will marry your daughter. And he married. Come the first night, when he sees this girl for the first time, Fatima, she's sitting there and she's absolutely beautiful and there's nothing wrong with her. And he goes to his father and says, okay, this is, thinking that there may have been a mistake here. Okay, there is such and such a girl inside my apartment, my room. And the father only explains, again, this is my daughter. I said she was disabled of hands because she has never done anything haram with her hands. I said she's crippled because she has never ever left our house. And I said she was deaf and blind because she's never heard anything that is haram and she has never seen anything that is haram. My brothers, it is mothers like this then give birth to people like Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi. And if we want our sons and daughters to become something tomorrow, then that woman that we bring inside our houses has to be a God-fearing woman. I'm sure that you are aware, it is the mother that has influence on the son in his early days. Father is working day and night. Who stays at home? Who looks after this child? It is the mother. Many a time you read in books with regards to God-fearing, good, pious women that would recite the Quran while they had their children in their stomachs. And such was the effect of these good, pious, practicing women that when this child is born, he can say nothing, but in spite of this child is reading the Quran. He has memorized so many paras off by heart, because the very thing that his mother would recite would enter the heart of this child. So this is the main aspect that we should be looking for in the woman that we marry. Everything that I mention now and thereafter is icing on the cake. The second thing that we should be looking for in the woman that we want to marry is character. Why character? Because this is the thing that will remain with a woman till death do us part. Every other thing will come and go. Today you earn millions, and you've got millions. Tomorrow you're begging on the street. Today she looks like a dynamite, and tomorrow there's wrinkles on her face and spots all over, and you just don't want to go near her. The only thing that remains with a person is his character. And if a person is pure from within, and if a person is pleasant from within, then everything about this person will be good and it will be pleasant. However, if the person is not good within, it is not pure from within, but in spite of that they have this remarkable beauty about them, it's not going to work. Let me give you an example. Look at these Hollywood or Bollywood stars that we all look up to, and these dynamite of women that they marry. And look at the smiles on your faces. How, you know, when this dynamite of a woman blows in his face and the reality hits him, when all of a sudden she treats him like dirt, she swears to him, she walks all over him, she ignores him, she disobeys him, she humiliates him. Only takes a few days to forget that beautiful face. All of a sudden this guy that was in love with this woman because of her appearance, when he brings this woman home and when the way she treats him, all of a sudden now this guy doesn't even want to look at this girl. However, if a woman is good within, then Allah will place the love of that woman inside your heart. For everything that she does for you, from her cooking to cleaning to respecting to honoring to looking after your mother and father, when you see